I have in my mind what I think how it could play out. However, it's a little premature for a multitude of reasons, and the very last being the competitive advantage stamp piece. I just, there is a lot going on today, a lot that's gone on in the last 48 hours, and you kind of want to instead of wishing something into existence, I'll let it play out. Well, the quarterbacks that will be participating today will get action and great opportunity, and will as the week progresses, I think I'll be sure to shout it from the top of a building when we know that. Listen, I don't take any of the decisions lightly at all. It's never as clear as the surface, and just the surface value. You know, I said that on what was that day? Monday? And sure enough, I have a lot more information on Wednesday. You know, so the picture's clear to me, and you know, I'm excited for the moment that there's supreme clarity. I just don't chase that for the sake of, all right, I want it off my plate. You know, generally the easiest thing is not the path that I choose, and that doesn't mean the results are always awesome, but that's literally what I signed up for, so bring it.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel, man. That'll get you on a Friday right there. As listen, Mike knows who the starting quarterback is, okay? He knows. And apparently, Skylar Thompson's out there, and he can see. And by the way, there is no way in hell for everybody out there that's ever had bruised or broken ribs. They don't go like, 3 days later, feel a lot better. It's like the flu. I'm good. He had enough trouble running around healthy, let alone with bruised ribs. So the question is whether it's going to be Tyler Huntley or it's going to be Tim Boyle. And he knows who it's going to be. And he knows who the backup's going to be at this point as well. So, and then the other part is who's going to be healthy enough off a couple of concussions and some guys that got banged up in the game that couldn't come back in. And here we go. By the way, today, man, big day, big night, Canes. Virginia Tech going to the ball game tonight, man. Really excited on a Friday night to get to my first Canes game of the season. And this is the only one that matters. Guess what? You could have lost one of those first four games. It didn't matter because all that matters now is your record in the ACC. Isn't that crazy? We make a big deal about it. And for rankings, it is a big deal. But you could have lost one. Somebody could upset you, whether it's the Gators or some USF and big upset, you know, and you could still go, okay, but all that really matters is the Virginia Tech game. So now you try to stay with perfection tonight against the Virginia Tech team. Again, another big athletic quarterback, another good running game Virginia Tech has, and they're going to try to control the ball. I don't know what these defenses are thinking from the ACC as they get ready to play the Canes offense. I don't. Do you stuff the line of scrimmage so they can't get a running game going? Because if you do that, then this guy is so accurate when he spreads things out, and such a good feel for where everybody is, and time and pass protection has been unbelievable, And then they're going to try to go after Jason Taylor's guys up front, man, and see if they can knock some guys off the ball, keep some first downs, chew some time off the clock so that the Canes offense can't be out there all night. Probably, I'm guessing Virginia Tech would like to see some real bad weather. Which, Woody, how are we looking on the weather tonight? What do you think?
I think we're looking okay, Joe.
I do too, man.
Rain, I think, like earlier.
But it wasn't bad yesterday. How the hell can it be? I did walk a little bit. It was windy now.
But that would,
way too windy for old guys.
The field goal kickers, Joe. But there might be some rain like in the early afternoon.
Okay, well, we're not. We only care about anything 7:30 and
yeah,
and
I think we'll be okay, hopefully.
So hopefully if you've been bundled up there and you can come out and watch the Canes tonight and get into that, the Cam Ward Show and Restrepo and Barrow and Arroyo and Mish Powell and Bear, I can go through the list, man, and I hate doing that because they got a lot of guys playing really, really well right now. They're going to be rotating a lot of guys in there, and it's fun to watch. Boy, it got deep fast. Had to step back. Hey, step back for a second if you're a Canes fan. Just step back and go, my God. Now, and we still got this schedule in front of us, and there will be a game or two that you're going to be down and probably have to come back and win. I heard yesterday watching all the college football shows, and Clemson has looked really good since getting their ass kicked by Georgia. They have picked it up, and we'll see, you know, what that's going to look like going forward. Louisville's going to Notre Dame this weekend. We'll get a look at what that looks like, and they'll get a big test there. And we got some great games, by the way. If you're just sitting back as a college and pro football fan, you just like anything that's 11-on-11. And says football on it. You got some good ones, man. Bama and Georgia. And then all the games coming up on Sunday. We got a bunch of good games. And then, of course, Monday Night Football. We got a couple of games, including a game that the Dolphins just... Woody's right. Woody's been beating us up. And I'm always a little careful early in the season to go, look at man, calm down. But this game... This game and the Titans are really bad. I mean, we haven't been great either, so every time I say this, somebody will, what do you think the Dolphins have been? Well, they haven't been great either. So, Will Levis, the numbers, Will Levis has had 13 starts, right? He hasn't won a game since last year on that comeback against the Dolphins. I looked it up. I went, no way. That doesn't sound right. Like, he couldn't have been that good against us and that bad against everybody else. Yeah, because he threw for like 320 yards, and he was throwing takeoffs and dumping the ball. He looked like he was – I mean, they walked out of there going, we might have a franchise quarterback. And now they're saying, we don't know if we want this guy around. We may be looking for a quarterback. So all that crazy stuff of the world of football and trying to find the right quarterback. I guess we should just start the theme of football for college and pro and just say, we're all looking for that franchise quarterback. And we continue to look.
Well, look what it's done for the Canes. But, yeah, it is funny with the Dolphins thing. I guess you did your research yesterday, or you started your research for Monday night's game. You're doing your boards and stuff. You go, boy, this team's really bad. Like, we got to beat these guys.
Correct. 100%.
And you were running, you were rattling off numbers, turnovers, and all, and they don't have any interceptions and all this other stuff.
No, I hit you with that last night. I go,
you were like Statman yesterday.
I said,
team sucks.
They're bad everywhere.
Yeah.
They don't have an interception in three games. There's no defensive coordinator going, hey, we're very happy with this. Three games, no picks. We're doing great in that secondary. And though, by the way, the number one pet peeve of every coach from the past greats like Don Shula to the Bill Belichicks to everybody else, and I will tell you the biggest pet peeve is turning the friggin' ball over. There's nothing else close to it. I know you could listen to Al Michaels last night and say penalties and everything else. Another penalty! What's wrong with your team? No. Worse than penalties, which, by the way, do make coaches look bad, is a team that continues, and especially when it's the quarterback who is responsible. I think Will Levis is responsible. I know for seven, might be responsible for all eight turnovers, five interceptions, and he's fumbled three times. We played three games. I mean, he's by himself. As far as turnovers go in the NFL, you look at the numbers early on. There is no other number that will drive a coach in high school, college or professional. For all you coaches getting up early this morning, don't try to go through and find something that's worse than that. There's nothing worse than having an offense that constantly turns the ball over at a pace of 3 times a game. Like, you remember, you hear, all right, guys, let's take care of the ball. Take care of the ball. Let's go. Hey, be smart. Take care of the ball. Put it away when you get a chance. Don't leave the ball out there. There's a reason we do all those drills. And take care of it. Don't force the ball into coverage and all those things. And, hey, if you're going down, go down. Don't, like, as you're going down, throw it up in the friggin' air and throw a 50-50 ball. We don't want those. So, and we got high school coaches right now. We got college coaches. We got NFL coaches going in going, he's right. You don't want that. But I will tell you, Joe, 10 or 11 penalties will piss you off too a game. That won't make you very happy.
There's been a lot of bad football, man, around the—
By the way, that was getting to last night.
Yeah, there's been a lot of bad football. You feel that too? Like, it's not even at the pro level. There's been a lot of just bad football we've seen around the— Is it just bad offensive football? A lot of penalties, like,
yeah,
it's been strange, man.
I don't ever remember
it being this bad.
I think some of this goes back to camp. I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
Are we talking NFL now, not college? College.
College is all over the board, but
no, college gets after it though.
Yeah.
Mario's practices. I've only been to Mario's practices. Yeah. He gets after it.
That was a whole heck of a lot.
I'm guessing.
I was shocked, by the way, when we went to that practice.
I was too a little bit.
Dolphins, you know, fluff practice.
Well, whatever it is, know, dude, man. Everybody's
Do you
doing
really
those.
Believe that's why
well,
the,
I don't
why
believe,
the play in the NFL is so bad? It's
I don't,
not just the Dolphins, by the way.
It's everybody.
There's like 2 good teams in football. You hit me with that, too, this morning. You're on point here, man. There are really – how many good teams would you say in the NFL right now?
The cleanest team that I've seen play, and maybe some other people out there will disagree, has been Buffalo. Buffalo looks
yes,
to be
Buffalo
the cleanest
like the
team.
So
I don't think they're the most talented team.
We'll like find on the, out on Sunday night.
Yeah, that could change real quickly. Cause,
that could change very quickly.
I've got them going down. Lamar.
Yeah, but you always pick the Ravens in these big games for some reason. You never learn.
I think they're just... I got to tell you, that
they're due.
That quarterback and now handing off to the other guy who's one of the top, once again, leaders in rushing. And then he holds... You realize Lamar's running for, like, he's 6th or 7th in the NFL in rushing yards again. And remember we've been talking about, oh, Lamar's going to cut back on all his running. He's not going to run as much. Before we go, and we got before we go, our show's done today. Thank you. No.
Put in a big one today.
Brian Baldinger's going to join us coming up. We'll talk to Baldy, go around the National Football League, plus a lot of Dolphin stuff with Baldy. From the NFL Network and works with Odyssey as well, so we're able to get him every week here. Last night, the Cowboys and Giants, and I don't think the Cowboys, if you watch that game, are world beaters. It was a 2015 game, but the Giants can't score a touchdown. They kick 5 field goals in the game. That's it, 5 field goals. So you move the ball, you get in the red zone, but you can't score, so you're kicking field goals. It is really hard. It's been done already this year, so I know there has been a couple of games. I think there's 2 games where teams didn't score a touchdown and won. But I'm telling you.
We're part of the no-touchdown club, but with a loss.
It is really, really hard to win without. I still remember Bill Arnsberger telling those guys on defense, we'll let them march up and down the field. They can kick field goals all day. And we'll get some turnovers in there. The longer the drive goes, that was the other one he used to always say. First time I'd ever heard that. Like, hey, we'll keep them on long drives, and sooner or later, the Killer Bees will get a takeaway. And if not, make them kick a field goal. And then last night, I watched the Giants kick 5 field goals. You don't deserve to win when you kick 5 field goals. You do not deserve to win when you don't have a touchdown. And by the way, last night for gamblers, I'm not one, but Woody, I thought of you last night.
Yeah, we stayed away from that one.
2015 game, a 5.5-point favorite. The Cowboys are a 5.5-point favorite. And the best field goal kicker with 28 seconds is this guy, Brandon Aubrey, the kicker for the Cowboys. He's 12 for 12 on the season. He's already got a 65-yard field goal, and he kicked a 60 last night. So last night, 51, and Al Michaels brings it up because Al likes action. It's obvious that Al Michaels likes action. So he was very aware of it. He misses the field. This guy's been automatic. So now he's 12 for 13, and they don't cover the spread.
Well, the problem is these networks and everything, they're all in bed with the gambling companies, right? And Florio tells you that every
yeah, in
every
a roundabout
week,
way.
Yeah,
there's, well, are they no, the owners? Ads the owners? This, no, but you know. The owners have a piece. All these companies. I mean, there's really, to me, it's a conflict. But to the commissioner, so it's like your owners own part of these gambling companies, but they're like, hey, you guys, we got to keep the game on the up and up. But I know we own a piece of it.
Of course there's a conflict. The whole thing shifted on that play. Joe, there's a lot of nonsense in these games, too. The officials, I think, I hate getting on the officials, but I do think a lot of times they seem to do a poor job. Like, last night's game was a mess. There's a weird play in last night's game where
bitching. Wait a sec. You just told me Al Michaels bitches too much about officials. What do you do?
On TV. He's getting, he's the voice of the league on Thursday nights, and he's complaining. The game was tough to watch at a lot of points, but, like, you score a touchdown, Dallas scores a touchdown, they throw a flag for holding, everyone's marching back already, and the officials go, no flag.
All right.
It's just strange, man. Like, a little consistency would be nice, I suppose.
I don't know if you can ever get what you want in the NFL. We can bitch about officiating every week. These dudes are big and fast. These guys, there's some kind of gray area of a penalty on every play. It's just a matter of how many you want to call. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to. Brian Baldinger is going to join us. We've got a lot of high school football stuff. Got a big week. We got to talk about last week's games. Couple of great games we'll tell you all about as well as we get set for Friday high school football as well. But Baldy will join us to talk NFL next.
Bottom line, in the event that Skyler went out for that game, I felt Tim would be it would be more prudent at this point. I'm more comfortable him falling into where we went and targeted him for. We targeted him to be on the active roster there, and he's steadily working every day. And I can see him gain the confidence of his teammates as well. So it's a cool process to be a part of. It's not easy, but nothing in this game is specifically for that position. So. You can tell he's cut from the right cloth, and the game isn't too big for him, so very encouraged with his progression.
All right, well, Mike's being real careful. He said, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to let him know who's going to start. Let him prepare for all three guys, and we'll go from there. But I think most people believe that Huntley's going to be the starter for this game. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's Monday night. We got more tonight as the Canes are home against Virginia Tech. First ACC game and a lot of fun stuff going on. So we talked to E.J. Manuel from the ACC and ACC Network, which is part of ESPN, and asked him as a guy by went through the same thing at Florida State, was a first-round pick, and went to the Buffalo Bills and everything else, and had some, if you missed it, had some really cool things to say about Cam Ward. Here's what he had to tell us yesterday.
Yeah, well, the best way you handle it is just continue to prepare, continue to practice. And, the thing that I enjoy the most about Cam after these great games, obviously the performances he's put out there on tape, man, is, he's going to go probably in the top 10 picks in the draft. Like, somebody is going to take this young man because of the coolness, the calmness and the poise that he shows in the pocket, along with the accuracy and the decision-making. But everything he talks about is he turns it right back to his teammates. He turns it back to his offensive line and how they're protecting him. He turns it back to his receivers and how they're giving, him opportunities to throw into windows and getting open and getting yards after the catch, and how Coach Shannon Dawson is dialing it up for him to have full range in this offense. So that's what you want from a QB, man. You want a leader, not just somebody that can throw it and run it. You also want somebody that's going to be a good voice for that football team. And that's why, even going back to April, I thought that Miami was going to have a shot. I even said that, look, Cam Ward was a program changer for Mario Cristobal. Like, not just that kind of quarterback, but, like, he's going to change his program. Because now, imagine, Joe, all the recruits that are going to go there.
Yeah.
Other quarterbacks are going to want to go there, whether they're portal guys or, high school kids. So, this is a bigger impact than just winning football games on Saturday.
That was E.J. Manuel with us yesterday and later in the show. talking about and being at practices. EJ Manuel goes to all the ACC practices and obviously does ACC pre- and post-game shows and halftime shows and everything else. And so been around Cam Ward a little bit and is a big fan, and why not with the start. But tonight starts part two, and part two is the most important part because these are ACC games. And nothing, those first four games mean nothing right now. They really don't. You went undefeated, great. It's good for the big picture, but you got to take care of these ACC games. And there's going to be a lot of fans out there that go, I know they're good. I know they got a lot of depth, and this one does feel a lot different. But I've been through a couple of decades of hearing we were going to beat Virginia Tech, we were going to beat Virginia, we were going to beat Georgia Tech, and they grab you. And you turn the ball over, you get sloppy. You guys have seen it all, right? But
we have. But to simplify this, and EJ's right, the Canes haven't had a guy like this in, I don't know how many decades, Joe. But like, yeah. this is the guy. Like, he's the first round quarterback that the Canes have desperately needed to turn around their program. And you know, look, man, a quarterback. I mean, it's just to simplify the whole football thing. You see how important that position is.
Every level,
it just is, and. You got a guy that can make plays like that. You know, you're just not worried heading into this game tonight. Now, this is a big test for them, right? I mean, these are the kinds of games that they absolutely have to win, and you want to win them comfortably. You don't want to be in these games late. Virginia Tech is clearly not as good of a team as you are, right? I think the longer you leave these teams in there, the bigger problem it becomes, but you should be able to blow these guys out.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because I know it's been so
tough
over the years. Well,
that was a generic take on it, and you're right, by the way, Woody. You're right. They are super talented and deep. No question about it. And you got young guys just ready to play, and the more they play, the better they're going to get, the 18- and 19-year-olds and the 20-year-olds on this team. But tonight, for me, it always starts with the line play. Really, if we're to be honest, probably at every level, right? We're talking about Buffalo Bills offensive line are going, oh, man, the receivers, they're all right, but that offensive line for Buffalo is really good. Just putting that out there. And so you look at the offensive line for the Canes, really good last year, really good this year. But the other test is they're gonna face – the Canes defense, a lot of real athletic quarterbacks, another guy 220, 230 pounds that can run and throw, a dual threat, another one of those guys tonight. And they want to be able to run the ball. And so far, Miami Hurricanes front seven is going, you ain't running against us. Nah, we got plenty of defensive tackles, got guys on the outside, and we got linebackers, man. We got a couple of Bassaint, Maui Noah, and a couple other guys there. We're fine. We're in good shape. So that'll be another test tonight for those guys to show up and shut that thing down. And then, as you know what happens, Kane's offense gets rolling, and you knock them right out of their offense. And now they got to play a game they don't want to play. They got to throw every down because they're down, and then it gets worse, and you score again, and now it's double digit, and now it's a three-score game. And USF went, well, we can't run and do all the things we want to do now because we didn't think you guys are going to score 36 straight points like this.
Yeah, I do think, though, Miami showed a response in that game that we haven't seen them show in a really long time. I mean, Joe, USF had them on the ropes a little bit there in that first half, and you could tell Miami was, you know, a little shell-shocked with that fast-paced offense, and they ran that screen all the way down there. Mario's running down the sideline to call timeout and all that. And
great onside kick, onside kick.
They threw the kitchen sink at those guys, and you could tell they landed a couple of haymakers in that first half, but Miami really responded in a way that we have not seen them respond, right? And that was not a pushover team that they beat and scored those 36 straight points against. That was a good win, and you know, go on the road and do that. And I just thought their response in that game, I know Mario was talking about that on Monday as well, but the response that they showed in that game I thought was something we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree that it's got a completely different makeup, and we'll all get a chance to watch it tonight at Hard Rock, and then next week a late night game out at in the Bay Area in Berkeley, California, to see what that looks like out there. But tonight will be fun and a good chance for your fan base to go out and on a Friday night. And we got, of course, high school football that we'll be getting to. Larry Bluestein's going to join us for that. Get you caught up. Couple of great games last week. Couple of great games and a little bit of an upset in a game in Broward County. But we'll get you caught up on all the games tonight. And we'll get to our top five schools here in South Florida. We'll have all that stuff with Larry Bluestein coming up early, 7 o'clock hour. And, of course, we've got a lot from college football, including University of Miami stuff coming up. And we also have the NFL games this weekend. And pretty good games, man. Minnesota, Green Bay. Philly at Tampa Bay. Kansas City at the L.A. Chargers. Well, my favorite, the Bills go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens.
Are you going to red zone me on Sunday? Are we red zoning it here?
So I still like watching one really good game.
Really?
But
I could do red zone all day. I love when we have Monday night games or Thursday night
games. No, they give you everything. I know they give you everything. Beautiful. I know they give you all the highlights and or lowlights of every game.
Kansas just does such a nice job.
Okay. It's really not about him. It's about highlights.
You don't get to watch this a lot, but like we put the countdown on at home. You know that net where they like have a countdown, like a timer?
Yeah.
And we just have that on the screen at home. We count down. I mean, it's, you know, it's red zone, man. 7 hours of commercial-free football.
No. That was the greatest thing that ever came. Baseball does that too, man. Baseball's got that thing at night during the year that run the games.
Who knew?
No. I'm just saying the same thing. It's just all the highlights. Whatever, okay. Just because you only care about one sport, I understand that. So, because you're so well-rounded and stuff and all the stuff you do. Hey, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up, man. Got a lot more stuff to get to here with football.
Does tennis do that too? Tennis channel, around?
No. That's only a watch when my favorite players are playing. It's got to be favorite players. I'm not going to the smaller tournaments. I like the big tournaments, man. I do. All right. Hey, I'll tell you what else I like. Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and low T. I want to let you know. Hey, man, you never know when it's going to hit, but it will hit sooner or later. And when it does, and it's Friday, and every Friday I stop by Atlantic Men's Clinic in Plantation. I had such great results. I love sharing it, especially on a Friday. It's kind of Atlantic Men's Clinic Day for a lot of guys that I've met over there at that location. They have 6 in South Florida, but I got to tell you right now, if you're drained and constantly tired, just find yourself waking up in the morning. You feel tired. You don't feel like working out. You don't have the workouts you used to have. And you got people saying, it's normal. You're getting older. This is what happens in the second stage of your life or third stage. Hey, man, it's happening to guys in their 40s and 50s where they're just tired. And with that, your sex drive goes down, and then all of a sudden you find out, like I did, I had full-blown low T and ED both. That's a bad combination, man. And, I started wondering. I waited because I like, who do I talk to about this? This is bad. Like, this is a problem. So I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic, and I got to tell you, that was 7 months ago, and it must be six and a half months. I felt great. I really do. I feel good making plans this weekend and just my energy level. I just want to let everybody know, man, it's something that guys don't go around talking about, and I understand that, but you can talk to the professionals over at Atlantic Men's Clinic, really, and you'll get great results. They do your lab work and have your results within 30 minutes. A Florida licensed medical provider will review your results with you and discuss your options, and you make the decision together with their medical team. Your initial visit includes medical consultation, a TNA PSA test, and if you sign up for testosterone treatment, the day of your appointment, your visit is free. Come on, man. Get back to the winning race. Let's get rolling on this. 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment. Hear what they have to say. 877-455-7300. You can knock out that low T and ED if you're constantly tired, moody, and just not feeling it, man. Visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. It will make a big difference in your life.